free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Yeah, this is Penn Jillette in Las Vegas, Nevada, sitting here with Michael Goudeau from Las Vegas, Nevada. Did I just say in Las Vegas, from Las Vegas?
In Las Vegas, from Las Vegas.
Under Las Vegas, over Las Vegas, every part is possible.
All Vegas, all the time.
So what's up with you, huh?
Not a darn thing.
Not a darn thing.
It's freezing here in Vegas today.
Fortunately.
It must be 65 out there. It's freezing.
It is. It's cold. But compared to Buffalo. not cold. What day is it today?
I don't know. Let me look. I got it on the computer. It's Tuesday.
Monkey Tuesday! It's Monkey Tuesday. Someone wrote in a little note that said that this is from Brian, that just wrote another few lyrics to the Monkey song. Monkey's doing crack, alcoholic rats, crawling on their backs, crackhead apes.
just a new verse.
A cappella. Another little verse came in. That was from David's story about the rat on the monkey's back, which was a very good story. I want to get to all. You know, this is great. We start because of the FCC. Put the fear of Jesus into all radio stations. We start, like a minute and 20 seconds before?
Yeah, a minute and 20, yeah.
We start a minute and 20 seconds before you actually hear it broadcasting. There's a minute and 20 seconds for a teenager. I think it's a candy striper. They have a candy striper in New York who listens to the show. And anything, it's a woman that does it, right?
Sexy Stormy.
the second she hears something that is in any way could be offensive, she hits what's called the dump button, and that part goes out of the whole thing. So she's listening to us. Let's give a big shout out to Sexy Stormy. She's listening to everything we say, and if we start getting towards a subject that could be a problem, she writes an instant message to Michael Goudeau.
Here it comes already.
What'd she say?
I'm not a girl, dummies.
Oh, it's not? I thought it was a girl.
I thought it was a girl.
Wasn't it a girl sometimes?
Sexy Stormy, I don't know.
Sexy Stormy. Okay, it's a guy. So, we'll find out more. We should actually interview. Of course, if we say anything that's not pleasant, they'll just dump us.
That's right.
But so we have this minute and 20 seconds. So if you wanted to call right when the show started, if you just like had your finger on 866-570-PEN 7366, you would be a minute and 20 seconds behind us. But a guy called up with a monkey story before we even started.
5 minutes early.
Yeah, 5 minutes early, he was there with a monkey story because Monkey Tuesday is so much bigger than any individual's. So we're gonna be telling monkey stories today. But before we get to the monkey story, feel free to call in. 866-570-PEN-7366. I thought it might be, also you can write Gmails at penradio@gmail.com. Penradio.com. You know what's really funny? That the person who's listening to what we're saying to see if it's acceptable for the FCC used the word dummy. You know, he's on IM, right?
Yeah.
No one's checking his IM. He could use like a grown-up word, you know?
He's probably got to get into the mood.
So he's mad at us, so he uses the word dummies. Yeah. I mean, we're going to get an, oh, gosh, gee whiz. You bad people. 866-570-PEN-7366. It's Stormy, huh? I guess I don't, know enough about, Jay Leno knows every single person that works anywhere near the show, even way far away. You know, he knows everybody's name and what they do and about them and stuff. And I tend to be more oblivious. It took me like a week to learn Patrick's name. So I'm sorry, Stormy, that I don't know your sex or your gender. But it's good that we have someone with a stripper's name who's calling us dummies. I wish he'd said big dummy. But you have another message from him?
No, not yet.
You're scrolling. You got your finger rolling over the trackpad.
I thought we might have heard something by now, but no.
But I want to ask a question. You can always call in on Tuesday with monkey stories. Of course you can. But I wanted to bring up another topic. There's an article in the what happens in Vegas goes in a Norm's column and then goes national. In Norm's column today, and also he just took it directly from I think it was Nora Ephram's column in the on the Huffington webpage. Steve Wynn put his elbow through a painting he had just sold for $189 million. So it was the highest price ever paid for a painting. It's the painting that Picasso did of his mistress. It has kind of naughty parts. If Stormy were here, there'd be a big dummy over part of these this painting.
Big blue dot.
And as you know, as we all know, yeah, he paid it on. As we all know, Steve Wynn was originally going to call his big casino here Le Rêve. But then decided that France wasn't popular because of the Iraqi war. And so at that time, you know, when they changed French fries to Freedom Fries and stuff, so he changed the name to Wynn, which is, you know, his name. It was hard to think of that one, Steve. 866-570-7366. So he's showing off this painting that he just sold to the Lauder guy in Connecticut, the guy, you know, with $1 billion. And it was just going to go into... He's going to be sold and be there forever. He paid like 40-something million for it and was selling it for $189 million. So he made a profit.
All right.
He made good coin on that. And he was showing it to Barbara Walters. You know, what is it called? Retina pigmentosis. What is it Steve Wynn has? He has kind of a tunnel vision type thing. It's very bad peripheral vision. And as he was – and I just don't understand this at all. I read the Nora Ephron account. And I read the Norm thing today, and let me pull out the Norm thing. I might as well have it right in front of me. He says, this is from the Review Journal, so those of you in New York probably, you know, may not have a subscription to this. The accident occurred as gesturing Wynn suffers from retinitis pigmentosa, an eye disease which affects peripheral vision, struck the painting with his right elbow, leaving a hole the size of a silver dollar in the left forearm of Maria Teresa Walter, Picasso's 21-year-old mistress. And then the Review Journal, which is a fairly libertarian paper, actually prints the word that I'm sure Stormy wouldn't let us say. Stormy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and I'm going to say shoot, but that's not the word here. Oh, shoot, look what I've done, Wynn said, according to Ephron, who gave her account in the blog. Wynn paid $48.4 million for the Picasso in 1997, had agreed to sell it to art collector Stephen Cohen. $139 million.
Okay. Yeah, not nearly as much as you thought.
No, I just lost $50 million just that quickly, $139 million. What I wanted, what I thought people might...
Is there some chance Barbara Walters tripped him? I mean, he doesn't have the peripheral vision. Maybe he thought it'd be really funny.
What I don't understand is I have some paintings, you know? I have like some Martin Mull paintings and some Tony Fitzpatrick paintings.
Yeah, it's a lot like Picasso.
Well, I mean, it is like Picasso,
but
in their paintings, their canvas, right?
It's $40 million for the Le Rêve.
Yeah,
sorry.
But what I'm saying, I'm talking physics here. I'm talking materials. I'm not talking aesthetic worth. Okay,
all right.
Stay with me on this. How do you put your elbow through a painting? I mean, if you hit canvas with your elbow, does it just kind of bend a little bit? I mean, how hard do you have to be gesturing to? And why would it be a half dollar size? Wouldn't it be like a tear? But what I want to ask people, and I thought they might want to call with this, 866-570-PED-7366. What's the most amount of money damage you've ever done in one gesture? I just think that somebody, you know, people clearly have totaled cars while putting on makeup. You know, and someone must have totaled her like a Mercedes or something.
My guess is Mel Gibson swearing when he was pulled over by the cop. the single gesture that he did that cost him the most.
Well, yeah, and Tom Cruise jumping on the couch. But I'm talking about a physical gesture. Like, is anybody, and I don't think, you know, Steve Wynn has the eyesight problems, so it makes it, well, it depends on what you are. If you're a professional comedian, it makes it funnier. If you're a lay person, it makes it less funny. What is that Groucho quote? The Groucho quote is, anyone can dress up like an old lady and pretend to fall down the stairs and get a laugh, but to make comedians laugh, it has to be a real old lady.
That's right.
It's something like that. That's not exactly it. But yes, so for professional comedians, for real professionals, Steve Wynn's eyesight problems make it much funnier. To lay people, it makes it less funny because there's some sort of sympathy that comes up. There's some sort of empathy that wells up in the heart and some concern for Steve Wynn's visual problems.
If you were a real professional, would put his head through it, you know, and just had his head where the naked girl's body was below him and... you know.
Yeah, on the
Disney Channel. That's the way they handled
the Disney
that.
Channel would have done that whole thing. Stormy would have been happy. Stormy never wrote in with any comments on it.
No.
I was hoping that someone would call in 866-570-PEN-7366 and just tell us, you know, there's someone, one of our listeners, if there's any sort of demographic that we have, I think people that like knocked a Ming vase off a pedestal or something should be listening to us right now. Don't you think?
I rode a motorcycle through a fence once.
Yeah, but how much damage is that?
Well, I put it back up before they got home.
Yeah, did the motorcycle get in?
No, damage? Not so much.
I'm trying to think of the most damage I've ever done. I mean, I've really royally screwed up magic tricks in the middle of a show, but that's a different kind of comedy. And I have bad eyesight, but not enough that you could write the name of it in Norm's column and, you know, and give kind of an excuse. I've certainly been gesturing wildly, telling a story in a restaurant. I remember I once gestured, I was telling a story and gestured wildly and hit a tray that a waitress was holding and knocked the entire tray and contents all over her. So I left, I think, a $150 tip on a $5 check. I left all the money I had on me because I was so embarrassed. And I've actually, and this is a horrible thing, I've actually done that twice. I did it once in Philadelphia on South Street, and I did it once again in New York City at one of the diners there. I knocked over a whole plate of meatloaf making a gesture. And not only did I leave like that time like a $200 tip, but I also never went near the restaurant again. I didn't finish eating nothing. I threw a lot of money on the table and I ran away with my head down. I was so humiliated. It was just awful. And it was the kind of humiliation that when someone humiliates you, at least you can have some sort of anger and rage. When you humiliate yourself, it's so. I guess in those few gestures, you know, a few $100. But we're talking hundreds of millions here. But we got a call. I'm going to take a few calls on this. Let's see. As soon as I said, "What damage have you done with clumsiness or stupidity?" the phones lit up like crazy. Patrick got so busy. So I'm going to take a few of these calls. 866-570-PEN-7366. Of course, you're always welcome to send in monkey stories. PenRadio@gmail.com, PenRadio.com. I got some good Gmail monkey stories that I'll be reading later. But first, let's just get a few of these. Let's talk to Rob. What's up, Rob?
Hey, Penn, I got to first say, you are the man. You
Thank
are
you so
seriously
much.
The man, bro.
Thanks
right,
so
I got
much,
a, I got a cute little story. I was a kid. My father owns an auto body shop. And you know how we got those spray booths?
The what?
The spray booths. Really expensive. You bring the car in, you spray the car, you bake it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You mean, by boot, you don't mean like footwear. You mean
no,
like
booth.
A garage.
Exactly,
yeah.
A booth. So
yeah, booth.
I'm
yeah,
about
booth.
10 years old. I'm about 10 years old, and I'm very curious as to this new thing that we got in the shop. So, of course, my dad goes and brings me inside, shows me, and we had a freshly painted car there. It looked really nice, and of course, I want to get a closer look at it. I leaned forward, and being a stupid little kid, I tripped, slipped, and on my way down, I kind of threw my hand out, slid it down the side of the car, and that's about the closest I've ever seen to my dad having a heart attack in my face, but it was a pretty interesting little situation, and it caused a pretty penny for my dad.
So you had like a 10-year-old sliding handprints across a freshly painted car?
It started as a solid hand, and then you just kind of see the finger lines go all the way down as I went to the ground.
Oh, I so would have kept that. I so would have kept that. I so would have, you know, did your father give the customer the option of not having it repainted?
Oh, no, it was as though it never happened again. Basically, they had to respray that entire part of the car.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't you have gone with that, Goodell? Wouldn't you just said,
yeah,
here's
oh,
a 10-year-old
like
kid falling in front of the wheel of my car? That's terrific. Well, thank you so much, Rob. That's
great. Take care, Ben. You're the man.
Well, how much does a paint job, a really nice paint job on a car cost?
Oh, it all depends how big you want to go, but it can definitely go a couple $100 into the thousands. No problem.
Okay, we just want to see what kind of damage you did. Let's see if someone can beat that. We were looking for who did the most damage possible with a clumsy or a foolish gesture. Not that Steve Wynn was clumsy. Steve Wynn has an eye problem. But even Steve Wynn's eye problem,
148? 139.
139. I've never gotten that number right. $139 million in damage, which is pretty cool. I mean, it's not necessarily damaged because he's going to have it repaired.
It'll be repaired.
And restored. And of course, the press in Norm's column makes it worth another $5 million. Just the fact, oh, that was, I want to buy the painting that Norm talked about in his column. That'll be just huge. Let's talk to Sebastian. What's up, Sebastian?
I was helping my parents hook up a VCR when I was a kid behind their television, and I stood up when I was done, and I knocked a rack of Hummels over, which are these little collectible dolls.
How much, though, how much does everybody that's ever seen a Hummel want to smash it? I mean, that's all they're made for, is to want to smash. And they all break?
They all broke on my head and all around me. And the insurance claims people said it cost my mom about $10,000 worth of damage.
$10,000?
Yeah, that's a lot of Hummels.
For a kid, that's pretty good. $10,000, how old were you?
I was about 12 years old.
Yeah, $10,000 for a 12-year-old is getting up into the hundreds of millions for an adult, I would say.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sebastian. This is great. I love these things calling up. You know, I have a great story that I might tell. You know, the Danny Hiller story?
Yeah.
I might tell the Danny Hiller story.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because that is a fabulous story of causing damage, although it's more stupidity than clumsiness. Let's talk. I'll always love to see a woman's name pop up here. Courtney, what's up?
Hi, how you doing?
Never been better, boss. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Just got out of class.
Oh, good. What damage have you done?
Okay, so I got a story for you. In college, my friend and I were at a party, and we basically, you know, we were just hanging out, and we were hanging out in this girl's room, and she left us in there, and before she left, she was just like, hey, you know, make sure you don't spill anything, and just don't touch the computer. And we were like, sure, you know, whatever. And so she
leaves. Oh, dear. No.
Was that you, Patrick? Did you do that, Patrick? Oh, she's. Are you back there?
What's that?
Did you just? What happened? Where'd you go? Oh, you're there again. Okay, so you've been told you're in the room at college with another woman, and you're told not to spill anything and not to touch the computer. Okay, go on with the story.
Okay, so this girl leaves. And my friend is very loud, she, like, just can't handle herself in small spaces, basically.
Yeah.
So she picks up a hacky sack, like one of those balls full with beans.
Yeah, we know what a hacky sack is. We're jugglers. I wish you'd remember that, Courtney.
Right, okay. So she picks it up, screams out, hacky sack, and then punches. This ball hits a cup of beer. The cup spills onto the computer, wrecks the computer, okay? So while we're in, like, a mess, frantic mess trying to, like, clean this up before the girl finds out that we've destroyed her computer, we go in and find paper towels and try to clean it up, and then we're like, okay, well, we have to destroy the evidence. So we tried to flush it down a toilet, which created the bathroom to
completely explode. Hold on a second. Patrick, how come it's gated so that when I talk, she gets cut off? Do you know what's going on there? Because I just laughed a couple times and lost it. I'll try not to laugh. So now you've spilled the hack and sack, knocks over the beer, which goes into the computer. You take the paper towels to clean up. You want to destroy the evidence. You put it in the toilet. You try to flush it. Now the whole dorm room is flooding. Is that correct?
Well, this is a house. And, yes, the entire party was evacuated.
Well done, Courtney. Beautifully done. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We have. Did you read this Gmail about, I was going to say Fred Wynn, but I think it's Steve Wynn. That's right. This guy named Buzz has just written to us and says, I'm a professional artist and work with canvas all the time. I could punch one of my paintings and it wouldn't tear. Something's missing from the story. I mean, Picasso was painting high quality. You know, one of the things modern painters do, this painting's what, 70 years old or something? That's in the modern age. They had reasonable paints and stuff. I mean, when they take, like when they ripped off the scream and stuff in movies and stuff, don't they just cut it out of the frame and roll it up? How do you do that much damage? Something is missing. I want to hear this. Let's talk to I just look at the time. What are you doing? What are you doing? It's Monkey Tuesday. 866-570-PEN. Monkey stories. What's the most damage you've ever done? We'll be back after this.
Ah!
Penn Jillette here. Steve Wynn had a had an accident a few days ago. I guess a couple weeks ago, wasn't it? And it just got into Norm today. And he put his elbow, a half-dollar size hole in a Picasso that he had just sold for nothing funny about this, $138 million. And he has retinitis pigmentosa, is that what it's called? And pigmentosa, and he doesn't have very much peripheral vision at all. So he was gesturing, and Nora Ephron wrote this up in a thing on the if you want to read the Huffington Post, it's all there. And that kind of's talking about what's the most damage, monetary damage you've ever done. Now, Steve Wynn, I think, automatically wins. I don't think anyone's going to call this show and say they did, you know, in the hundreds of billions. Oh, that sure would be cool. If someone calls up, that would be so great. And I do have an amazing story that someone else is. But the calls are so full up here that I think I might go with those. I'm going to read this one first. This is from John. While working valet at a very well-known steakhouse in the Chicago suburbs, I witnessed a client crash a brand new Enzo Ferrari worth roughly $750,000. The client comes out of the restaurant yelling over the phone, got into his car, and burned the tires down the driveway. About halfway to the exit, lost control of the car and crashed into a parked car. The parked car was a $185,000 Bentley GT. So that would have been a great thing to see. Didn't they do a demolition derby once with like all like brand new Mercedes and stuff? I think they did that once on TV. It was a very, very good idea. Like the idea that we had at your kid's birthday party. I probably shouldn't say this. It's probably been done. But we thought how much – I don't like sports much. We were watching these 5- or 6-year-old kids play musical chairs, and I was thinking, you know, musical chairs with professional athletes and like a $1 million prize, that would be a really good thing to see. To see like linebacker, I'm saying the word linebacker like I know what job that is, but like to see, you know, I've met like I met Refrigerator Perry, and I've met like several football stars. I met OJ at our show, and these guys, you know, I'm 6'6 and $3, and these guys are huge. And imagine them playing musical chairs. I think it's a $1 billion idea. As a matter of fact, somebody should call me from a network right now and give me creative by credit. You know, the musical chairs, you know, serious musical chairs, you know. No kidding around. Professional.
You think this is going to raise more money? Chairs. More money than donkey basketball?
Yeah, I think so. I think it would raise much more money than donkey basketball. We're talking about some most damage that someone has done with a with one move. And let's talk to Jackie. How you doing, Jackie?
I'm good. How are you?
I hate to say this, Jackie, but in the calls that we're taking today, when we do calls on any other subject, it's mostly men. But for doing huge amounts of monetary damage, the calls seem to be coming in from women. We finally found a subject that women call on. What do you got there, Jackie?
Well, I actually was babysitting for a family about 7 years ago, and I was like 16 years old.
This isn't the LSD turkey and baby in the microwave story.
Okay, not at all. But I was babysitting a girl who was, I guess, 5 years old and her older brother who was 13, and I had some friends come over that weren't supposed to be there, and we were hanging out.
Yeah.
And,
see, this is my nightmare with hiring babysitters, right? Had some friends come over. Some friends of mine who are in a motorcycle enthusiast club.
No, not at all. They actually were worse than that. But you know, my friends go downstairs to the basement for whatever they're doing, and I see that the two kids are running around chasing each other, and I go to stop them, and I bang into one of the kitchen walls, and a plate that's hanging on there like falls off and shatters.
Uh-huh.
And so I start freaking out. I get Elmer's glue. I'm sitting there for like an hour gluing this plate back together, hoping they're not going to notice.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And so I put it back up.
How old are you at this point?
23.
I mean, at the point that this happened, you were 23?
I was 16.
So that makes it much better. And also, we want to describe. See, I always like to get the details here. What were you wearing? No, that's not the important detail. I mean, it's the important detail for me. But what is the plate of? What did the plate look like?
It was like, I can't even say, it was some like Italian artist had painted it. Some like mural on it. It was like a museum piece, apparently, I found out later, that they had like paid all this money for.
The name wasn't like Da Vinci, right?
No. God, I hope not. But it was some famous Italian artist had painted it, and I shattered it. And so I glued it back together, and I hung it back on the wall, and I was hoping they wouldn't notice before I got out of the house.
Yeah.
And when they got home, the kid, you know, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, comes out of her room crying and decides to rat me out because, you know, she doesn't want her mom to be mad at her.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the mom almost starts crying, and the dad is, like, freaking out, and he's, you know, trying to calm her down, and, oh, it's okay, don't worry about it, it's a museum piece, but, you know, it's not the end of the world. And so I have to drive home with him because I'm not driving at this point, so they have to, like, drive me back to my
house.
Wait,
is this, are you going to tell me, like, a payback time story? No, go ahead.
No, but what's sad is I ended up getting fired from the job, and I can't even say for certain if it was because of the plate, because my friends who came over did something else in the house that they found out about, and so I don't know.
You're not telling us what they did?
Well, they had intercourse in the basement.
Uh-huh.
And they left the condom down there, and the family never found out that I had friends over. So when they found the condom, all I can assume is that they thought I had, is what I'm assuming. So
I'm gobsmacked.
Yeah, so I don't know which is worse. I really don't know which is worse.
You're just pure condensed evil, aren't you? You're just the worst human being on the planet, and I'm talking to you. Now, you were chasing the kid. You knocked the plate off the wall. You tried to glue it together. You were ratted out by a kid, and then you assume that the first thing someone would think finding a random condom is that you were having sex. There's a guilty conscience here. Did you want to have sex?
Not at all.
I have friends who were 11 or 12 had sex with their babysitters. So I guess it's not.
No, this kid was not an attractive. Not that would have mattered. He wasn't attractive.
Okay, we've learned so much about you, Jackie. We've learned so much about you. So it was nothing about. Not even a mention of the fact that you were in charge of the children. Probably not the best move. No talk of ethics or morality. That didn't cross your mind. Just the poor bastard wasn't attractive enough for you to have.
I really wouldn't have. But
and
on
then
top
you
of
drive
that,
home,
he wasn't attacked.
And then you drive home with the dad and do not have sex with him after breaking the plate.
Patrick, that whole night was awful.
Patrick has such a crush on you now. You've turned him on beyond belief. He wants you to come over to his house, smash all his plates, and leave condoms all over the floor. That's what he wants out of you.
As long as I get paid by the hour, that's fine.
You know, Jackie, I once broke a chair at Geraldo's house. Geraldo was loaning me.
Did you break it on him, or did he just break it?
I broke it. I did not break it on him. He was not in the room. He was gone.
Okay.
We were using his place, and I leaned back in this, like, really fancy antique chair. And, I mean, I'm Sasquatch. I'm a monster. So I leaned back in this thing, and it cracks. And my girlfriend, who was friends with Geraldo's, we both freak out. So we leave the place and drive down. We were like somewhere like in Cape Cod or something. We drive down to New York City to go to like the best antique restorer. And I intended, this was my plan, to get this chair fixed, which was going to cost, you know, many thousands of dollars, get it fixed perfectly. And then after it was all fixed and back in his house, fess up. That was my plan, was to fess up.
It's the plan.
Yeah, that's the plan. But the fess-up part never happened because the restorer called Geraldo about the chair
and then described me
as the one who left it off, okay? So I became, well, I'll call now the Jackie.
Thanks.
And I'll tell you, there were condoms all the hell over Geraldo's house then, too. Thank you so much. And Jackie, I'm sure that although you may have done some things that were questionable at 16, that you've now become a responsible citizen that we all respect and adore. Is that correct?
I hope so.
I don't want to leave saying you're the worst person in the world. Let's just say for
I'm not.
For that one night, you were not the...
For that one night, I really was the worst person ever.
Thank you so much, Jackie.
You're welcome.
Knocked over the plate in her passion with the 16-year-old is what happened,
13-year-old.
Really. 13. Oh, she was 16. Yeah, right.
For those of you who don't have the transcript in your hand, the answer was, no, he wasn't very attractive. We'll be back after this. 866, it's Monkey Tuesday. Play that. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. PenRadio@gmail.com. PenRadio.com. This goddamn day, Godot. What's the name of this goddamn...
It's Monkey Tuesday!
Yes, it is. And yet we're not getting many monkeys. Please, call in with your monkey stories. Send them in. 866-570-PEN 7366. I like to have extra monkey stories that maybe after the show's over, I'll just get on the phone and talk to you about some of your monkey stories. So even if you're not going to get on in time, call up after the show's on. When the show ends, call up afterwards. 866-5-
You're going to sit here for another half an hour.
I'm going to sit here for another hour and talk about monkeys. 866-570-PEN 7366. Even call after the show's over. PenRadio@gmail.com. PenRadio.com.
But what are we talking about today?
We're going to get to monkey stories, but we're going to try to talk about damage people have caused. Although we do have, he wasn't that attractive. He's right up there with Pops. There's so much like us. It really is. What was your exact line? Someone was listening, because we don't listen when we do the show. We're talking. It's not our job. But someone will write in with the exact words that Jackie said. Let's talk to any of these you like more than the others. Let's talk to Big C, just because I like his name there. How you doing, Big C?
What's going on, Penn?
Doing very, very well. How tall are you?
6'5".
6'5". What do you weigh?
250, 260.
Okay. Big C is okay. I imagine that my son will be called Big Z because he's going to be a very, very, very large guy. So, Big C, what's your story?
So, I mean, I wish I had a monkey story for you, but I got a damaged story. So, I was about 13, and my dad had just bought...
And were you attractive enough for Jackie to sleep with you?
I hope so.
Okay, yeah. Big C at 13 looked okay. Okay.
So, my dad had just spent a couple of grand on a new TV. You know, one of those... I mean, it was... you know, 15, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they were kind of expensive. You know, it wasn't the plasma stuff. But so I was home alone in the house, and as 13-year-olds are wont to do, I decided to watch an inappropriate video on my dad's big-screen TV.
Yeah, of course.
And, of course, I'm ready to, you know, and the movie ends, and I go to take the video out, and the VCR doesn't eject the movie.
Uh-huh.
So in my... sheer genius, I grab a pair of needle-nose pliers and try and pull the movie out.
Sure.
It doesn't come out, so I figure...
You weren't using the needle-nose pliers earlier for any sort of sound.
No.
Just want to make sure that people don't get confused.
No. So, I can't get it out, so I figure if I put the VCR... I unhook the VCR. If I put it on my feet, I can get more leverage.
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm like, I have it balanced on my feet. I'm pulling... All of a sudden, the front of the tape gives way. The VCR goes flying and breaks the TV.
Wow! You threw a VCR that had a porno in it through the big screen TV?
More like kicked it, but yeah.
Wow!
What story did you tell your parents when they got home?
Yeah.
Did you
blame Jackie for it?
I did, and then I blamed her for having sex with me because I was only 13.
No, what did you tell your parents?
That I slipped and threw the phone at the TV and it cracked.
Okay, so
my dad did not believe me, and yeah.
Did they ever bust you on the porno?
No, because I broke the tape when it went flying. I pulled part of the tape out.
But was it your tape? Was it your tape or their tape?
Oh, it was mine.
Okay, well that's good because if it had been their tape, they would have noticed it broken because your father's the kind of guy who would keep very close tabs on his porno tapes.
Probably well, obviously, I mean, I feel like every guy keeps very close tabs on their porno.
Of course they do. And have you ever fessed up? I mean, since then, now that you're an adult.
I mean, I fessed up that I broke it. I never fessed up that I I was watching a porn and I kicked the VCR during TV.
Oh, I think, you know, we this gets podcast. Just give them the URL. Tell them penradio.com and the date. And have them hear this phone call. They really deserve that.
Not a chance, huh?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay,
yeah.
Thanks a lot, Big C. Thanks a lot. You know, my friend who had sex with a babysitter when he was 12,
mm-hmm.
he told his mom when he was 45, they were, like, having dinner. And he said, you know, that babysitter, and he thought that since he was 45, and, you
that'll
know,
be
married,
funny.
That'll be funny. He said it wasn't funny. They wanted to, like, remember her name and go back. He said it was really creepy and unpleasant. So just a little piece of advice from the Penn Jillette Show. If you've had sex at a very young age with your babysitter, maybe there's no time that's good to tell your parents, you know? I mean, when you're a child, certainly do that. I just gave very bad advice.
Yes, right. At 13, it's fine to confess.
At any age, it's fine to confess. I just was like the Catholic Church. All of a sudden, I was a cardinal going, you know, bygones are bygones. Forget it. I went directly against all my morality. You know why that is? It's Jackie. That slutty babysitter made me crazy for a moment. If something bad happens to you when you're a kid, please, please talk about it to everybody. That's a really important thing to do. Let me take another call here. Let's take Ryan. How you doing, Ryan?
Doing great, Penn. How you doing, buddy?
Doing very well, thank you.
Colin, I got this great story. I was I moved to Chicago when I was 12 years old, and my parents thought it'd be a good idea for me to meet kids my age, so they put me in this church group with the local church in the town I lived in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a retreat one day. So we were all downstairs in the basement, had the retreat. Well, we had a little Nerf football, and we decided we were going to throw the football around. So me and a couple other kids.
It's Nerf. That's an important
it's
part
Nerf.
Of the
game. I mean, what's it going to hurt, right?
Sure.
We're in this big, beautiful Catholic church, and we went upstairs to the main church and started throwing the football around.
Sure you would. Why wouldn't you?
Well, to make a long story short, I was going for this kid had thrown the ball to me, and to try, of course, impress everybody, I went running for this Nerf football, and without looking around, when I caught the ball and I turned around, I went right through a pane glass window.
Wow!
Like a 110-year-old pane glass window in this big Catholic church.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah,
that's fabulous.
Overall, I did about $20,000 worth of damage.
Well, that's really good. And also a religious artifact, which
yeah.
is real, which is also really good. You're now my hero. I mean, I really approve completely of this. How busted did you get for it?
Oh, pretty bad. Let's just say we changed churches fairly in another town. Actually, we went to a completely different town after that.
So what happened was, the priest was moved to another town for what he was doing for the kids, and the kids were moved to another town where they were doing it was stained glass, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Stained glass, yeah. Oh,
big
man.
Stained glass window. Beautiful 120-year-old stained glass window in the church, and I went right through it like it was nothing.
Oh, that's great. That's fabulous.
Yeah, it was. It's funny now.
Oh, I'll tell you, if I were there, it would have been funny then, too.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Thank you
I need you to appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Ryan. Listen, we're going to call in with monkey stories, even though it's getting toward the end of the show. Keep calling. I'm serious. I'm really into this today. I may stay and do a whole other show. If you want to call in and do that. I may even want to get to some of these accidents next week. 866-570-PEN-7366.
Yeah, we got a couple of good Gmails for accidents that
we
should
really do. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. We have some great ones, and I may read them if I don't get to them. I don't want to do this 2 days in a row, but I may do them next week if we get some really good ones here. So if you have any sort of costly mistakes that you made, call in 866-570-PEN-7366. We're going to do another show. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. Call up. We'll put you on hold. We'll start a whole other show. We'll play it some other day, okay?
That seems like a good idea.
Deal? Okay.
Sure.
Do you want to take let's walk it out with Matt here. How you doing, Matt?
Hi, how are you?
Never better, boss. What's up?
How you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
Very good, thank you. Enjoy the show.
Thanks.
I was in high school. We had moved into the school was brand new. We had just moved into it.
Uh-huh.
And they hadn't completed the locker rooms yet.
Uh-huh.
So we didn't have a clock. So me and another guy went down and we took a clock out of one of the classrooms and we put it in the locker room. And the next day, they complained that someone had stolen the clock.
Uh-huh.
We got nervous that they would find the clock in the locker room because they knew there wasn't one in there. So the next day after school, we took the clock and we plugged it back in, brought it down to the classroom and plugged it in. When we did, we plugged it in incorrectly and we shorted out all the clocks in the school.
How did you plug in a clock incorrectly? Was it hardwired in?
Yeah, it was hardwired.
Oh, I see. You were actually using like wire strippers and stuff.
Yes, and apparently we stripped the reversed the wires.
I see. Yeah, okay.
So now every clock in the school said 3:10, and we thought, well, they'll just have to send someone in to fix it. We just ignored it.
Uh-huh.
Well, the next day they had a team of electricians come in, and apparently, the way the circuitry was set up, they had to go from classroom to classroom and test every single clock. To find the one that was bad. It was like the old Christmas lights.
Sure, yeah. Sure.
They were there for 4 days.
It's series, not parallel. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
So they were there for about 4 days.
Did you ever get busted?
And, we never got caught.
Never got caught? And no. How about you figure that set them back 4 days of professional electrician?
They said that it cost about $30,000 to have them in for 4 days and do the repair.
Wow. Well done, sir. You are bringing down the pig power structure with just some simple wire strippers. Nice. There's a blow against the empire. There's bringing down the man. 3:10 is when it happened. 3:10 is when the revolution started. Thank you so much. Thanks so much, Matt. We're going to. And I didn't even read this story yet, but I see what it's from. So I'm just going to read it cold on the air. This is from our friend Natasha, who's a wonderful, wonderful writer for the show and a good friend of mine. This is, good morning, sexy gentlemen. The worst damage I ever brought about, although slightly indirectly, was to my grandmother's antique bed when I was six. My mom used to dump me off at grandma's house when she worked, and I hated it. It was quiet. There was nothing to do, and it smelled funny. One day, my grandmother was taking a nap, and I used the opportunity to amuse myself by tying the laces of her nightgown to her headboard and going downstairs to swim. Normally, this wouldn't be much of a problem because you would just slither out of the nightgown and reach up and untie it. Unfortunately, my grandmother has had a gimpy arm from birth, and being rotund, couldn't contort her way out of it. When my mom came to pick me up, I told her Graham was sleeping upstairs. She didn't get out until she woke up later that evening, and she ended up having to break one of the wooden stakes out of the headboard to get away. I was a very bored child. She's doing bondage on her grandmother. That ends up in this particular nightmare. Listen, I'm not kidding. I may do another show. 866-570-PEN 7366. Call with any monkey stories you have, any destruction stories you have. We're taking all comers at that time. 866-570-PEN. That's 7366. PenRadio@gmail.com. PenRadio.com. You know, we have, I have the Danny Hillis spoon bending story.
You should tell that story.
That I want to tell. I haven't got time right now. Maybe I'll tell it next week, maybe another day. But someday, some other day, it'll be appropriate. And Danny Hillis has given me full permission to tell this story as much as I want to, anytime I want to. So I will tell it on the air. As a matter of fact, we told it once on Bulls Hit, but that show was running too long. Remember, it was on Psychic or something.
Oh.
So we cut it. So the story, he also gave me permission to use it on television, but I've never told it there. So it may be a brand new story for most of you that I'll tell one of these days. 866-570-PEN 7366. We're on Free FM, CBS Radio. I'm Penn Jillette. It's Monkey Tuesday.
It's Destructo Tuesday.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.